Hi, and welcome to Gen X Temporaneous. This is a podcast where I come up with an idea, I do some research, I grab a bottle of wine, I bring everything to Mark, and he pontificates. Hi, Mark Snedeker.
Hello, Christina LaRusso. That was the shortest introduction of all time.
It really was. I had no real introduction because I thought better to just talk it through with you what we're doing here.
What are we doing here?
All right, so
I have things to do.
Okay, here's what's happening. I am deep into researching about the simulation hypothesis.
Or are you?
I am.
Well,
and
you think you are.
I might be.
You're representing that you are.
I am. So anyway, I have a little bit more research to do before we can record our next episode on that. And so I am going to re-promote something now or play something now that only our Patreon listeners have ever heard.
My God.
We have our Patreon on pause because we are just too busy. I am too busy because
I'm too busy.
Work and travel and all the rest. So I had to cut one thing out and it was our Patreon. So sometimes what we did on our Patreon is we have extended conversations about topics that we have previously discussed on Gen X Temporaneous.
Yes, I'm familiar with that podcast.
So we did a life lessons in the movies about Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
And this is an extended conversation about Dirty Dancing. So we've already talked through the plot. We assume that most of you who are Gen X listeners or just most of you who have a pulse have seen Dirty Dancing.
Spoiler alert, don't put baby in the corner.
That's right. And
she escapes from the corner. It's fine, guys.
Don't worry if she doesn't do the lift the first time.
It'll be all right.
So we're going to let you have a listen to this, and we will be back next week with a fresh episode about simulation hypothesis. And that one is going to be all about how do we know, or how would we know, we are in a simulation.
Don't worry, I've already sorted it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I got it all figured out.
All right, everyone. Enjoy this episode, and we'll be back next week.
See ya.
Mark, hi.
Hey, what's up?
Here we are.
Back again.
Moments later. Here we are to discuss Dirty Dancing after dark.
Ooh. Wow. I mean, what are you going to do that in the daytime? Gross.
No, I mean, wow. It's that dancing, though. Okay, let's talk about that. That dancing in that show was really sexy.
Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of the merengue or the foxtrot or anything.
I'd love
of those
to learn how
things.
To foxtrot.
Well, I mean, it's not that hard. It's like one step. I mean, it's not that hard.
Oh, boy.
But that's not really my thing, right? Because, you know, I'm like very, not only am I anti-line dancing, mm-hmm. like, you know, get out of here with your achy, breaky heart or the electric slide or any of that mm-hmm. crap, because that's cheating.
I disagree, but
it's not really dancing. You're just doing what everybody else is doing.
Yes,
it's just mimicry.
Fun. It's fun for people.
Well, for people who can't dance, maybe.
I don't know. You're doing popping and locking just like other people do.
I do my, oh my gosh, mine is unique to me. Trust me.
Oh.
Trust me, nobody's doing it like I do it. And that's not necessarily a compliment. So I'm kind of anti-structured dancing, right? Get out there and just be you, mm-hmm. right? So, and that's what they do when they're, you know, really dancing, right? When they're doing their own stuff, when they're in their party mode.
Yeah, but they're doing their sexy dancing and their moves to that. Like, he teaches her how to do
that. I'm not saying no, girl, I'm not saying don't have moves.
But these are coordinated dancing moves that he's
teaching. Well, only because they're in a movie. No, he's not teaching her. Oh, yeah, you're right. I guess at least like maintain eye contact.
Yeah, and he's like, bend your knees.
That's
because
she had no moves, right? Yeah. She had nothing to work with.
Okay.
And really, all dancing is, for me, is you have to have a few decent looking moves, and then you just kind of string them together as best you can and try not to look dumb in the transition, right?
Yep.
And that's what he was trying to do, is give her a couple of moves she could work with.
That's true.
I know.
But it is. It's good dancing, and
I'm the Fred Astaire of my age.
Oh, no.
Or is that Alfonso Ribeiro?
I don't think that you are.
Wow.
But you're a good dancer, though. No. You are. You're.
No, can't save it now.
No, I can. Nope. You're a good dancer, but
ship
Fred Astaire.
Bye-bye, ship.
Oh, no, no. I also would like to say that Cry to Me is one of the hottest songs ever written. It's that one that they dance to when she goes to his...
Oh, yes.
His room. No, wow. It's a great room. No, it's not a great room.
It's definitely not a great room.
No, it's a great room.
I love it because there's a hot, sweaty, naked guy here.
The dialogue in this film was a little bit...
80s.
But it was also just kind of unimaginative.
Yeah. A little stilted.
A little bit.
Hackneyed, possibly. Trite.
Potentially. Yes. Okay, so let's talk about this question. And I tried to get people to answer this on Twitter, but nobody really responded to me. I think I tweeted it a bad time, because usually I get a bunch of responses to questions.
Pretty popular.
But this one I didn't get any responses to.
But we blame you, people.
Where do you suppose Baby ended up?
Ah.
And Johnny, I get. Sure. Baby and Johnny and the characters. Where did they end up?
We kind of did this with Breakfast Club, too.
Yes.
It was a little more grim for them.
It was poor Breakfast Club. Well, it wasn't grim on our side. It was grim. John Hughes had a real grim.
He might have been going through a rough patch or something.
I don't know. For them.
All right. So I'm going to say Baby probably doesn't go into the Peace Corps.
Right.
Because very few people did that. And she's not an engineer. So what is she really offering?
Right.
What's she bringing to the table there?
Well, she was going to study engineering.
Yeah. I don't think that happened. Because, I mean, that's a young person's idealistic take.
Well, and I agree with you, and here's why. Because in the introduction, when she's her voiceover, and she says, this is when people still called me Baby, and I didn't think to say that they shouldn't, right? I didn't think to question them. She says, this is when I still thought I was going to go into the Peace Corps or something like that.
Right. So there you go. So my prediction is...
Reflecting back, it sounds like, at least, that she... chose not to do that. But
which is fine.
But saying the Peace Corps is a way for the filmmakers to signal who she is.
Absolutely.
You know, so sure.
She's virtue signaling.
It is virtue signaling.
So, okay, so she goes to Mount Holyoke, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And majors in probably, you know, political science. Right?
Yeah.
Now, she's pretty smart. Strong-willed. She could have become an attorney.
Attorney, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah. I would think that she would become an attorney.
Maybe she argues Roe v. Wade versus at the Supreme Court. You know? I mean, like, she's a feminist-ish attorney.
I think so. I think that she does either that or it becomes a public defender.
Also possible, sure.
You know, she probably, I think she would feel like she could, that would be a fulfilling path for her.
Now, does she become, what's her name, from St. Elmo's Fire?
Oh, yeah.
Mayor Winningham.
Mayor Winningham. Does she, kind of that character, I think that's the kind of character that she probably.
Maybe not as frumpy.
Well, no.
But definitely still probably somewhat tied to her father financially, do you think?
Could be.
I mean, believe me, if my dad was a doctor, I would have stayed tied to him financially for as long as possible.
I think that she has the opportunity, though, to branch out from it. I think that she would be able to and probably want to be her own independent self. I believe that she would do that.
Right, but maybe drives her dad's used Mercedes or something.
Could be, something like that. And so, like, let's see, where would that put her? She would then be graduating law school. She's 63. She's meant to be 17. So she's going to graduate college
in like 68.
4 years probably in those years.
Yeah, that's
so
what I'm saying. It was 63, but so she's starting in 64.
Starting in the fall of 63.
Oh, okay. Then 67.
So 67, she graduates.
So 1970, she graduates now. You realize that 1970, she's dressed like Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yes.
And not. You know, Barbara Eden.
No, right. Yeah. I think that's it. And I think maybe she can become, if she
big
goes into
brown and gold check patterns.
Law school, she could become, go into politics. Maybe she herself goes into politics. Yeah, that would be an interesting thing. Because, the joke is, Baby wants to change the world, but maybe she does. Yeah. She's got a poli sci degree law degree.
We're an optimistic couple of people, right?
All right. So after that summer, does she ever see Johnny again?
Yes, but not for very much longer, because that's a summer romance, right? Yeah. And what's he going to do while she's in college, you know?
Work for the union. He was the house painters union, whatever, yeah, the local.
Exactly. So as unfair as it seems, being in those different socioeconomic strata really does increase the pressure on a relationship. It doesn't make it impossible, mm-hmm. but it makes it harder, because now it's no longer... you know, this forbidden fruit that, you know, we have to sneak around with my dad. Now you actually have to do the hard work of living, right?
Right.
And, you know, can she come home at the end of the day and talk to him about, you know, law and politics? Can he come home at the end of the day and talk to her about blue collar job he's doing? You can, but it seems less likely.
Well, it could be that, let's say he's not a stupid person.
Oh, I don't think he's stupid, but he's definitely doesn't have the educational background. And at his age, which was, I think, in the movie 43, like he was in his mid-40s, I'm pretty sure. He's not going back to school, probably. You know?
No, maybe, but maybe he doesn't have to. Maybe their conversation could be enough. I find it unlikely.
Yeah, but. I find that having those kinds of conversations are less about intelligence, mm-hmm. right? It's not that he's not capable of it, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have that background. That's just not something he was raised in or is familiar with or would even enjoy necessarily mm-hmm. because that's just not his world. In the same way that she might not want to talk about cars mm-hmm. or whatever it is mm-hmm. that he's into. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have anything to do with your native intelligence, mm-mm. just really where you're coming from.
But Mark, they have the dance.
They do have the dance. And the dance is magical. And
they can find each other every day. That's back right. on the dance floor.
You think that she's coming home, you know,
running
after,
into his arms to yeah, do
she's
a lift.
Like, yeah, she's like, put on those old 60s tunes, Johnny. Let's take a twirl around our shitty little apartment. I know you're covered in grease and my hair is all straggly from studying in the library all day, but let's do a dance, man. I don't think so.
Oh, God, it's good. Do you think that she has any rebellion in the late 60s? Do you think that she's kind of a hippie? Within the confines of law school, but do you think that she has any...
Like, she's not going to Woodstock.
You don't think right? so? Do you think she fucks off to the Summer of Love to the hate?
No, I really don't.
No?
I think she's a slightly more serious person than mm-hmm. that. And I think her kind of growth in the movie, mm-hmm. that's as wild as she gets. I don't see her going, yeah, you know what? I had the sex. I learned to do some dance steps from 15, 20 years ago. I'm headed to the hate. I'm going to drop some acid, tune in, drop out, something, whatever.
God, you're such a counter-revolutionary.
Yeah, that's me.
Wow, Mark.
Yeah. I don't know why they're drinking all this acid. That seems very dangerous.
Oh, God. So then what becomes of Johnny?
So
one more thing. Does she get married?
Oh yeah.
You think she does?
Oh yeah. She's mm-hmm. still, I mean, look, she is a rebel, you know, I mean, she still grew up where she grew up.
Right? Yeah.
Plus her Jewish parents are definitely going to be putting pressure on her culturally to have some grandbabies.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Marry a nice boy from Havid or wherever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think
Lisa definitely married kids. Oh, the please, whole yeah, nine. She's, yeah, yeah, she's following in mom's footsteps. Okay, right. Johnny.
God, what does Johnny do? I mean, he might have peaked at 43 here. He might be done.
I don't think he's 43. I think he was in his 30s. Jennifer Grey was 27 when she married.
Yeah, she looked very young in that.
Yeah.
That was what, 4 years after Ferris Bueller? 3 years after Ferris Bueller, something like that. All right, so Johnny.
He's still wearing those sunglasses and leather jacket.
Yeah. He's definitely like, you know, those I peaked in high school kind of guys. Uh-huh. So he's like, yeah, I remember when I used to dance and all the ladies loved me.
I don't know.
Maybe he starts his own dance studio or something.
Okay, so there's an idea.
Because he's definitely, obviously, as Penny said, he's a strong partner, right? He knows mm-hmm. how to teach the dances, break them down, Arthur Miller, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, what did I say, Arthur Miller?
Arthur Miller.
He's going to break them down in the crucible. He's like, yeah, I'm going to teach you how to dance, and we're going to go burn some witches.
Oh, my God.
All right. So could he start? Yeah, he could start his own dance studio.
Yeah.
Like maybe he has a chain of 5 dance studios in somewhere in New Jersey.
That could be.
Teaching housewives the cha-cha, you know, whatever.
It could be. That would be a cool ending.
That's a good.
He franchises out.
Yeah, that's a good result for him,
you know,
right?
I think so. And finds that he deeply loves Penny.
Right.
And that they're together?
Nope. No way.
No.
No, remember they had that fling when they were younger. Now it's more like a brother-sister thing, I think.
I know, but maybe they could find their way back to each other.
I don't think so.
Okay, so he just meets someone else and gets married?
Yeah,
or?
Possibly, yeah. I think he gets married. I mean, mm-hmm. first of all, back then, everybody got married. Yeah. Right? Let's get real. But yeah, I mean, he might, you know, but I think he does well, right? I think he finds a nice girl mm-hmm. that, you know.
Woman.
Well, you call it a girl when you're not married yet.
No, a nice
She's
woman.
Not a woman until she gets married.
Oh! Mark.
Well, you didn't want to go redo it as a woke movie, so well. now you're stuck with the patriarchy.
That's not true.
You basically said, okay, I'm fine with the patriarchy.
No, I did not. No.
That's how I'm reading it.
So he gets married and has family.
Yeah, and he does fine, and he, you know, he has this dance studio mm-hmm. and... You know, maybe he choreographs some shows, mm-hmm. you know, maybe he gets to that point, mm-hmm. choreographs some Broadway shows or maybe some off-Broadway.
What time you know? Does he come out?
Oh, yeah. Well, then, you know, and maybe he teaches drama at a local high school and then comes out.
Or.
He's not gay.
Or he is at some point traveling through the Southwest and or wherever that is and comes upon a roadhouse.
Yeah, and maybe he's like, you know what? I'm in good shape. I know how to use my fists. I think some of these drunks fitting to catch these hands.
What?
Fitting to catch these hands. Fins to catch these hands. That's not right.
Yeah. Finna catch these hands.
There you go. Finsta. Isn't that like some kind of internet payment site or something, or a dating site or something? Like, oh yeah, so if you're like one of those guys who holds up a fish in all of his dating profiles, you can join Finsta. Find yourself a lady fisherman.
God, what the hell? You know it's getting late and I'm getting tired when I'm slap happy. Okay.
Who's next?
So
Penny. I feel like Penny's taste in men is not going to improve.
Picker is a little broken.
Yeah, and I don't see that really improving. I mean, she did, you know, get her situation under control a little bit there, but I think she's just going to find another bad guy.
Or she's just going to find a guy.
Maybe she'll find like a plumber.
She's just going to find a guy. He's a tradesman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Good for him. And maybe he owns his own contracting business.
Well, I mean, I think now you're being a little Mary Sue, and everybody's
you
ending
gotta
up...
You got to give somebody a bad ending? Well, I'm about to.
Oh, who you finna give a bad ending to?
Neil.
Oh, Neil's definitely getting hit by a cement truck.
No, here's what I think. Well, first of all, he was bragging about the fact that he owns two hotels, but... Yeah,
but he's not,
the
he doesn't
Catskills,
really.
That whole thing, oh, that's yeah, about... That's going to crash and burn. So then where are you going to be, Neil?
Neil. Well, right. I'm going to fight for vegetable rights and peas. Different Neil.
So I think that could be a real thing.
Well, he's going to Cornell, right, for hospitality.
Hospitality and hotel management. Well,
so he could still get a job. But, you know, maybe he ends up, you know, the manager of a Holiday Inn.
Could
know,
be.
Whatever.
Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
So I don't see, I mean, I know he thinks he has a way with the ladies. He does not have way.
Right? He doesn't.
He has no game.
But he will get married, I think. And...
Sure, because, well, first of all, his family's got money. So, you know, it's fine to try to assign him a bad ending. But the reality is that when you have a safety net like that, your ending is only going to be so bad.
It's only going to be so bad. Yeah, I mean he'll land on his feet somewhere. But okay, now one of the things that
maybe you'd be a doorman. There you go, Mr. Cornell.
Yeah, how's that degree?
Yeah, hey, thanks for the hospitality. We appreciate that.
You're really good at opening that door.
Oh, you're running a Waffle House? Okay, good for you. Better learn how to fight.
Never going to close unless there's a hurricane right on top of it. Okay, so we didn't talk as much about the relationship between Baby and her father in the main episode.
Right.
But let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Definitely daddy's little girl.
She is. And one of the things that I was thinking about when I was watching it was how parents have to, at a certain point, really recognize the fact that their children are no longer children.
Right.
And that is a tough transition. And I think that there is, you know, there will always be, to a certain extent, they will always be your kids. They will. Yeah. They will always be your kids. But
what an interesting point, considering you are going through that right now.
I am going through it right now. But what was interesting to me about that is that her womanhood was directly related to her maturing was related to her becoming sexually active.
Yeah. And you can argue that those are just things that happen at the same time. You know, as you become more emotionally mature, theoretically, that's also the time when you're ready to have sex, right? Mm-hmm. And for her, especially back then, you know, to make that decision, it wasn't, I don't know if it's treated frivolously now, but it's just not as, it's not treated as with as much import and doom.
There's less for, well, not for everyone, because of course there's always these weirdo outliers who publish crazy shit online about women and virginity and all of that. Right? Like they worship the cult of virginity. But I think that there is a different view on premarital sex now.
Of course there is.
So I'm not saying that it didn't happen then.
It probably happened at very close to the same rate that it does
but
now.
But you acted in ways that you pretended that it didn't happen.
And it seemed like a bigger decision.
Or you hid it. You did a lot to hide the fact that it happened.
But it seemed like a bigger decision then. You know, like, you lost your virginity? Not like, hey, by the way, lost my virginity last week. Oh, nice, high five, you know, whatever.
Because it was scarier. It was more dangerous, actually.
It was.
In some ways, and in some ways less, because, of course, they didn't have AIDS. We've had...
But they had, you know, plenty of diseases out there. Venereal diseases,
yeah.
But also, you're right, the dangers of pregnancy and
well, as illustrated that, in this correct, movie.
And a lot more cultural danger, I think. Like, you know, ostracized by your family or friends or whatever community. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a bigger decision than it seems like. Now, maybe that's not sociologically correct. I don't know. But at least in movies, it's treated that way.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I think that the maturing process, having to go through that and him, you know, you can't help that he's thinking less of her because she did what is a perfectly normal thing for a human being to do. But he's thinking less of her because she's his little girl. Well, but also I think that he then comes to the realization that like, okay, she is who she is. She's still my daughter.
And he kind of tries to pretend like it's because she lied to him.
Right.
And he makes a very big deal out of that, which is, you know, that's fair, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be lied to by your child. But I think it was all wrapped up in that whole loss of innocence where, okay, now she's lying to me. Mm-hmm. She's having sexual congress, right? with a 43-year-old man. And
who's a dancer? He's not even a waiter. She's
facilitating abortions. You know, it's like,
right.
What have I done here?
Yeah, well, she really did. It was like a huge amount of.
I mean, she took on a lot that summer.
She did. She really did.
She's like, look, I got a big list of stuff to do this summer. I got to learn to dance. I got to have sex for the first time. I got to help out, someone resolve an unwanted pregnancy. I have to borrow $250 from my dad.
Which was like $2,500.
Yeah, that's no joke. But he's a doctor. Adjusted. It's fine. It's like, that's a lot of money. I'm like, come on, $250? Like, I know, a nice dinner out.
Damn. There is a little bit of that. It's much harder for the father to accept her growing up than maybe it is today. I don't know. Is it? Do you think it's still hard?
It's definitely still hard, right? Because you have to,
but for me, okay. But it's not. I don't think it's as tied to sex. I think
it's not. It's tied to things like, you know, giving them or letting them take responsibility, and run their own shit when you see them making mistakes,
right?
And you want to, you know, helicopter parent, right up until the bitter end, and they're doing things like moving out. You know?
No, I mean, that would be
great. Yeah.
No, but I mean,
please do that. Yeah,
no, I think out. That's good that kids do that. It is hard. Okay. So it's harder. It's much harder for me with my kids to feel okay about where they are and what they're doing when they're home.
Yeah.
So if my kids are away at school, I think about them and I wonder about them, but it's not as immediately nerve-wracking for me as it is when they're home for some reason and and they're out.
I think you just are tired of your kids.
No. When they're home and they go out, then I worry more is what I'm saying. I worry more and I'm more concerned. Like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Because they're under my, ostensibly under my control. They're under my roof.
That's interesting that, you know, you feel more stress when you actually have more ability to monitor things.
I don't know. I don't know why that is. And that's how it was with Caitlin when she would go away to school. And when Carly's away at school, when they're here, I'm more aware that, you know, they're not home and what are they doing?
Right.
And I'm more nervous than...
And out of sight, out of mind.
I don't care.
Figure it out.
No, please. I mean, I care about them, but I also want to make sure that, you know, I also let them have their space. It's easier for me to let them have space when they are gone. It's like, whatever, do your thing. And then I'll just, I'll get some call about, Mom, please help. This is going on, you know. But anyway,
I need $250 for a friend.
I can't tell you what it is. Her dad was really generous. I mean,
he
really,
well, and I.
And he trusted her. So I can kind of really see his point where she really did do something. And then when he says, well, it's not illegal, is it? And she goes,
she's like,
no, daddy.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Well, it shouldn't be, but you know,
it was. And I don't know if she knew that with the first offer of the 250, because they hadn't really told her. And keep in mind, she's naive, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that she really knew it was illegal, but she definitely knew it was something her dad probably wouldn't approve of.
Yeah,
and
no,
so she hit it.
Yeah, I think she knew it was illegal.
Maybe.
Because by the time he's asking her, she knows she's lying, and she goes, no, daddy. So let's talk a little bit about what you wanted to talk about, which was how could this movie change to be less
paternalistic, patriarchal.
I think you keep most of it the same.
Yeah, I think I'm going to set some boundaries. I'm going to set some rules. Mm-hmm. First of all, you can't change the gender, race, or age of any of the main characters.
Okay, well, he's 43.
He is. He's 43. That's just how it's going to be.
No. All right.
And you have to keep the basic framework of the story
the same. And I would keep everything the same. The things that I would do, I would have it have less of a everything's happy ending. I would throw in some real
grit,
heavy things in there. Yeah. I would show Penny dying. I would have.
You're dark.
Right. So this is not going to be that 1987 romantic. This is coming out later in the year.
You're Breaking Bad
for Oscar consideration. That's right. I think that if you make it today, you have to give more consequence because the story that I would want to tell is that this really puts women in danger.
Correct. Yeah.
And how dare you overturn Roe, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm going to show you that this is a back alley abortion. This is going to be the
consequence.
And we're headed back to that if things don't change, right? So if I'm going to make a little political statement, it is going to be that she dies.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So now since you're trying to be up for Oscar consideration, is Johnny going to have an Oscar speech like, I never learned to read? Like, is he going to have that?
Well, I think that it's going to be a continuation of the commentary that he had where he feels like he's nothing. He comes from nothing. And then the power dynamic with these women who are using him. I think that there's going to be a little bit more exploration of that.
Okay.
I think that becomes, and I think that it's not
like he feels bad after an encounter something.
No, that he expands more on how he's feeling.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wouldn't have happen though in that situation is have Vivian Pressman be
right. I was going to ask you about
the,
Vivian.
A villainish person or someone who, because of her sexuality, her sex positivity is in many ways kind of punished and ostracized and made, and the audience is encouraged to dislike her as well.
Right.
I think that what you have...
So you have to make her single, basically.
You make her single or... I mean, I think that you could...
Because otherwise you're still going to portray her as an adulterer, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to make her single, I think.
I think it doesn't matter, though, that she's an adulterer. I think that what you can make her single. That's definitely one way to go.
I think that's... it takes out some of that judgmentally stuff.
Right. But I think that you expand on the fact that her marriage is in this situation where Mo is gone all the time.
Yeah.
And he's not really, you know, the marriage is problematic. It's still not a great arc, right? Like, right. I recognize that it's still in reaction to what her husband is doing.
And she's just looking for temporary salves. Yeah.
Or you make her, you make it more like a situation where her marriage isn't necessarily bad. It's not really about the marriage at all. It's about her. And, you know, maybe you expand on that part and explore why she's interested in these people. And maybe... maybe that's it. I don't know. But I don't think that you make
her... have her not give them money.
Yeah, maybe it's not that she's... Or maybe you just take her out altogether. Is she really that necessary?
No. Maybe, other than to shock Lisa.
Right.
You know, out of being interested in Robbie, really nothing. I mean...
Yeah.
Just titillating.
The other thing that I would change is the fact that Robbie attempts to sexually assault Lisa. And then she can... even after that happens,
she still wants to
be with him.
Yeah,
I think that we don't do that. I think that we see
the attempted sexual aggression towards her is the end.
Is the end, and that she recognizes her value. Like, that's what jars her. It shouldn't be like the thing that think about that.
Yeah,
the thing that jars her out of that relationship
is that he's having sex.
He's having sex with someone else. It's not the fact that he. We don't know what occurred on the golf course.
Well, but regardless
we know that she's expecting
an
apology.
Right. Regardless of what occurred on the golf course, you definitely still hold him to account because obviously he tried to go farther than she wanted to go. But instead of saying, you know, that's my bad or whatever, I guess we're just not compatible or whatever, he insults her for it. That is, I think, definitely has to come out.
Right. Oh, 100%. I think that he
can stay in and then he's punished for
she ends it there.
Right.
Right. He is punished in the end. He doesn't get the tip.
He doesn't get it too,
by Johnny, but he doesn't get the money, the tip from Dr. Houseman.
Right.
But I think that Lisa, you know, we take that kind of grossness away that she, not only did she endure, because that just reifies the trope that sexual aggression towards women is actually a turn on, and that women will then go back and you know, it's like, really,
oh,
women,
now I'm ready.
Women saying no when they mean yes, you know that. And so I don't think that we should reinforce that in our retelling of this.
Does she get a better singing voice?
No, because that's what makes, that's a funny part.
It
right.
Is funny.
I think that Mrs. Houseman is fleshed out a little bit more. Right. I don't know.
Stands up for her kids a little,
or just is what she is in that role.
Yeah. Well, she's got to be. She's more than nothing, which is basically
which is what she is, right? So I think that the character that I was thinking just now, as I was kind of thinking through how I might change her, is, you don't watch it, but the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, her mother, Mrs. Maisel, is as well. Kind of traditional in the sense that they, you know, the makeup and the hair and all of that. Yeah. But but of course, Miriam is doing something very different by becoming a stand-up comedian.
Right.
But her mother also has an interior life. And that is absolutely lacking in this character.
Correct.
I don't know that it was ever meant to be there. Like I said, it could have been a stylistic choice.
Her function could be more, I mean, given the time, her function could still be more of an advisor to her husband, you know, where he comes to her for practical advice and wisdom because he's just kind of wrapped up in being a doctor in his career and whatever. And he could use her as, you know, his better half, right? Or his other half at least.
As opposed to just a dependent, you know, additional dependent.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is at the end of the film, when baby is taken out of the corner, throughout the film, there was sort of this, I think this idea that baby gets that from the dad, right?
Yeah.
She gets that from you, Dr. Houseman, or whatever. At the end, the mom says about the dancing, well, I think she gets that from me. Now, you know, here again.
You haven't shown that in any other point in this film, so we're a little suspect.
Well, but even that is like, you know, I think the freedom and maybe the courage that baby is displaying at that moment, maybe that's something that she's identifying with. That hasn't been fleshed out in the movie, but
There's no justification for it in the movie at all.
None.
Other than she says it at the end.
But let's then retcon her character reflect that right. is true, to see where there
she
is
more fiercely independent.
Where, right. Instead of just saying that, she performs that
she walks in different ways. Walk.
She can still be his wife, but yeah. be more of a partner.
It's right? nice she didn't divorce them. But thank you.
Oh, jeez. All right. So, I think that some of the other things, though, do function well to show the patriarchy. Yeah. I think Neil's character, I think leave Neil the way that he is.
Except maybe get him hit by a cement truck at the end.
But have baby not cater to it. Because baby just kind of goes along.
She's like, she's rolling her eyes, but she's still up there painting
scenery.
She's still
painting scenery. And you know, when he's being obnoxious,
she's like, I took a girl away from the lifeguard or whatever. She'd go, okay, we'll go to her then, because I like Johnny.
You know, and then also just the kind of the way that he's, you know, he's. I love to watch your hair blowing in the breeze, and I mean it's just so heavy-handed, and yeah. I just like to see her sort of say, I don't really need to be with a boy, and ultimately in the end, I think that that's going to be the case. She doesn't have to be with the boy.
Like maybe she tases him at a certain point.
But no, and even with Johnny, I think that, you know, it's great that Baby is having this moment where she's kind of coming into her own.
Yeah.
And Johnny functions as a kind of the rock that she breaks herself on. And yeah. I get that. So you can't take that away. But I think that at the end, it should be very, very much clear that.
Hey, this is a great moment.
That is it. And I'm choosing as much as you are.
Yeah.
That this is going to be the end.
Works.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. You've made it more palatable to the modern sensibilities.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Maybe. I guess maybe good enough.
I think let's wrap it, girl.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, this was a fun conversation. Thank you very much. And thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. We really do appreciate it. And if you do like us, which you seem to, because here you are enjoying more content from us.
Give me 17 cents a day.
Please share Gen X Temporaneous with a friend.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.
Bye.